Day 40, Revelation 19, verses 1 through 10, and I'll be reading from the ESV this morning. After this, I heard what seemed to be a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, Hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this, 'Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.' Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy.'" In Revelation 19, the tone shifts dramatically from scenes of judgment to joyous celebration. The darkness lifts and heavenly visions of an eternity with Christ, our groom, takes its place. This shift is highlighted by the fourfold use of the word hallelujah, a word found only in this chapter throughout the entire New Testament. Its usage here is momentous, reflecting an event so glorious it demands the highest praise. Another significant phrase in this chapter is "let us rejoice and be glad," which also appears in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Both instances call us to fix our attention on heaven and on the coming wedding supper to which believers are invited. This is a moment of pure, unadulterated joy. To understand the significance of this event, we can look to the marriage customs of the first century. The betrothal period was far more binding than a modern engagement. The groom would pay the price for his bride and then go to prepare a place for her. This custom beautifully illustrates Jesus' words in John 14, where he promises to go and prepare a place for us. At the end of the betrothal period, the groom would return for his bride and a celebration would begin, lasting up to 14 days. This marital imagery is profoundly meaningful for Christians today. The wedding supper of the Lamb marks the end of all waiting, mourning, anxiety, and strife. The war between two kingdoms is over and only one remains. The celebration is not for 14 days, but for all of eternity. What has our groom prepared for us? An eternity free from shame. Sin, which has separated us from our eternal purpose, is vanquished. With no sin, there is no need to hide. There is no longer a need for religious performance to earn affection, nor for the empty pursuit of materialistic pleasures. There is no anguish over death, only complete, safe, transcendent, agape love. This returns us to the word hallelujah, which literally means "you praise God." Understanding the eternal wedding supper, an eternity without the things that have paralyzed and killed us, it becomes the only fitting response. For all of eternity, the supper continues. The place has been prepared by Christ, and our deepest desires and needs are fulfilled, not in the possessions, but in the presence of our groom. Hallelujah. We praise God. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for what you have done for me. Help me to live now in preparation for what I will live for all of eternity. Produce in me a heart that worships you above all else. Amen.